please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, James T. Deshaies of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, we got all kind of crazy things going on, and we find ourselves wondering, what are we going to do about the young people that are growing up in this society? You know, after the shooting that happened a couple of days ago in South Carolina with a 14-year-old, it lets you know that we need a lot of work to deal with our young people. And our young people need a lot of people who want to show interest in them and their development. And I was wondering today, should we always leave young people's development just up to their parents? Or should there be other people willing to make time sacrifices to participate in these people's lives? A lot of us who do have time or have the resources are older, and our children are older, and our children are young adults. But are we required, or should we be required, to make some time to help raise other people's young people? Would that be the best thing for society if the older generation could somehow sacrifice a little bit of their time to interject some morals and some values into the lives of young people, allowing some support to the parents who are out there having to deal with all these different things that the young people are going through? You know, here lately we have young people who get involved in such dangerous activities, or who have access to weapons that really have a detrimental effect on our society. And instead of holding back time from these people, should we be interjecting and finding time to help participate with football teams, the Scouts, the YMCA, or these kind of organizations that spend time trying to help mold the behaviors of young men and young women? You know, we talk about the fact that it takes a village to raise a child, but those of us who have the time, are we willing to share some of that time with these young people outside of their parents? And maybe this investment would help to make our society safer. And so I just want to talk to you about, you know, how we volunteer our time. Do we give enough time to young people so that we can help them understand that they're a valuable part of our society and that they need to do the positive things that are necessary? So that's what we want to talk about today is, you know, how do older individuals see young people, and if they are willing to sacrifice their time outside of their jobs, outside of their concerns, to spend some time with young people who are not necessarily their children. You know, well, where are we with that? I do remember when I first graduated from college and came back to Orlando, one of the first things I did was go to the Boys Club. It was a part of a football team that I did for several years before I started my job as a teacher and becoming a coach at the high school. I coached at the Boys Club, but that was then many, many years ago. And now that I'm retired, you know, should I seek to spend some time with these young people trying to help them develop their moral values and skills? I'm not sure if that, you know, now that I have this precious time available, is that a option that I should look to extend myself to? Or do I want that frustration of helping raise other people's children? So we just want to talk about whether or not do we owe society that investment after we've committed our lives to our careers and the other things that we do. Welcome, Andre. How are you doing this day today on this fantastic Friday? Andre, are you there? You know, it's so important for us to make sure we recognize.
Hello, can you hear me?
That we play.
Hello?
I do hear you now.
Oh, okay, great, thank you. Yes, fantastic Friday indeed. And yes, I think it's very important that we play a role in our communities and supporting our upcoming leaders, even when they're outside of our families. And then you may ask the question, well, how would I get involved and why would I go and see someone that I don't even know? I mean, just because we live in the community is reason enough to go and support. And if indeed we belong to any organizations, whether it's a church affiliated or a club or, you know, anything in our company that may branch out into the community, that's a great opportunity for us to, again, just demonstrate our support because the saying of it takes a village, as you mentioned earlier, to raise a child, it really does. And now more than ever, there are so many families without male role models. So surely, and I can't speak for the males, but I tell you what, we need you more than ever to make sure that we're demonstrating the proper behaviors and reinforcing the behaviors that we're looking for, and just to give them some insight on what it'll take. So very important that we teach, you know, our children, whether they're theirs, part of our family, or just theirs as it relates to our community and our neighborhood.
Well, you know that I understand that the YMCA and the Girls Club and the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and all these different organizations that have children who support children and have children in them, a lot of them are supported by people who have children involved in those programs. And now that we're asking, you know, I guess we're asking, okay, those of us who have raised our kids, who have gone to their football games, gone to their basketball games, played an integral part in our individual children's lives, supporting them through their athletic programs, and through their social programs. Now should we just, again, find some time and go back and be a part of these programs outside of the children when we've already grown to adulthood? And I heard you say we should, but, you know, that's a real hard thing for people to do after they've done their 30 years or they're in the midst of their their professional lives to say, okay, I'm going to go back and give a couple of hours a week or, to these organizations because we feel like we've already raised some kids.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. But the thing of it is just like any athlete would tell you, no pain, no gain. It is truly an extra effort, and people have to start with their comfort level. It may be something as but it is very important, to volunteer to go and read, stories or whatever to our, whether it's the YMCA in our schools or whatever the case may be, because, you know, whether you have a grandchild in that location or not, the difference between when we were growing up and now is that our families are spread so across the United States. You know, I mean, just everywhere. I just say the United States, but they're just spread out. So I, unfortunately, can't always be with my grandson. But I would hope that a loving, caring, older grandmother would take time to go out and read. Because if you're just going there, even if it's just to read, you're going to identify something or you're going to identify someone that can use some help and just some structure and some mentorship. And in return, I hope to be where I can have the time to do that. Now, last weekend, I had the privilege and honor to go and support an organization that went to Everyday Blessings. And that's an organization in which I wasn't even aware of. I was told that we were going to feed the hungry, but in essence, it was going to a site in which they have children who are abused or abandoned. No parents, just the children, and the children stay there for up to a year. And we had a chance, yes, we did do some feedings, but we also did arts and crafts. And I tell you, I just gravitated to this young man who was about 4 years old. And, boy, I just wish I was in a position that I could have brought him home with me. And I'm saying, you know, we are truly blessed when we have our families such that we can take care of our children. But there's a lot of children that have that need. And while I'm not artistic at all, I had a choice to either help in the kitchen because we did prepare them a home-cooked meal or do arts and crafts. I chose the arts and crafts because I really wanted to, you know, spend some time with the children. And I tell you what, they taught me more than I think I taught them. But it was truly a blessing, and those are examples in which, again, we can give back to the community. And I had no connection with anyone there, any of those children, but it was an opportunity for me to give back.
All right. Tony, let me ask you, what are your thoughts in terms of doing extra work with young people? And even though that, you know, you may have paid your dues related to your own children, but are we obligated to work with children outside of our own to help other parents to get them their children through these obstacles that sometimes trap kids and put them in the system?
Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, I'm at an age where I still have the energy to do it. But even if I was older, I would keep participating. I go out to high schools, middle schools, and elementary schools because I know some of the teachers and speak to kids, you know, one-on-one. I speak to classes. And I think that's important because in our school system, there are not a lot of black males that are in the teaching role. And for some of the young men that people don't understand, I can reach them. And it's not about me trying to make them see things my way, but just to say I came from where you came from, and if I can be successful, you can do the same thing. But they need to see a model. You know, a lion needs to see another lion roar when he's young so he'll learn how to do it. If he's got to learn on his own, there's going to be a lot of hard experiences that he goes through as opposed to learning a lesson from an older lion. And when I think about myself growing up, we had school teachers in my neighborhood that after school, if you had homework, you can go and ask them. And, you know, right now, not that we don't have that in the community, but, you know, people, hey, they're tired now. The kids are different. They look at stuff differently. People don't trust you. And the problem is we have all of these African-American teachers that may not be so active in their communities, not necessarily because they don't want to, but, you know, you just can't reach the kids. You know, they don't respect the teachers. But I think we have so much in our community that everything that we need is there. We just have to, you know, approach it the right way, get the people who can help to want to give back, you know, not necessarily give them a monetary incentive, but them just to say, you know what, even though those people are 20 years old or you know, in high school and on down, they're our future. And if we don't pour into them, that's telling society that we don't care. And that means they don't have to care. They throw some money at it. But throwing money at kids doesn't mean anything. You can buy them a new pair of tennis shoes. When them tennis shoes wear out, all they're doing is looking for you to buy them another pair. As opposed to you putting time in with them, that's the thing that's going to pay the dividend forward. But I'm in agreement that we should give back, you know, if you have the energy and the desire to do it.
Well, Tony, I'm going to tell you and Audrey something. And it's interesting that Audrey introduced this topic. But yesterday at a meeting, I was sitting down at a meeting, NAACP meeting, and I met this young lady who's a new board member, and I'm on one of the boards, and we were just talking, and she said she had been teaching for 11 years, and she loved teaching. And I have to tell you that I just left the classroom, and you couldn't pay me $1 million a year to go back. And, you know, in all fairness, you know, nobody's going to offer me $1 million. I'm just feeling like that. If I had to go back, I'd go back kicking and screaming. But anyway,
yes,
when she told me that she had been there for 11 years and she loved it, something in me said, wow, you mean you ain't tired after 11 years? And I just did 30. And so she said she wasn't. Then we continued to talk, she tried to say to me, she said, you know, you don't remember me. And I said, no. She said, I was in your REACH program. So I worked at Valencia part-time in the REACH program for almost 15 years. And so I used to take those students. She told me she was in my junior high program and my high school. And so it was amazing to me that here was a woman who was teaching, had been teaching 11 years, who was in my program at Valencia when I was encouraging people to go to college, young people to go to college. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, I played a part in her love for teaching. Because at the time I was at Valencia, I was all into it. You know, I was midway through, and I was, you know, my heart was still there. I was taking them on college tours, the junior high school and the high school. We'd go on college tours, and I knew how important it was. So now here's a young lady who's midway in her career, and she remembers Valencia, because I would never have remembered her. You know, here she is, an adult woman, married, you know, on the NAACP, working with the NAACP. I would have never guessed that I played a part in her early existence. So I don't know what's going to have to happen to me, because when I go back to Northwest Center, and I saw the other day, I went back to the Northwest Center, those kids running around, it was just too noisy. They were too busy. I was like, oh, my God, where I got to get away from here. You know? So I don't know. Maybe I just need to relax for a little while. Maybe I relax for 2 or 3 years, and I can get back the energy that you need to interact with these young people, because I just don't feel it right now. But she did make me see that there was value in the time I did spend with young people, and I'm sure there's more of her around who remember me, but I don't remember them.
Yeah. You know, and it may require that.
Go ahead, Tony.
I was going to say, you know.
Well, it's an amazing thing to know that you impact people's lives like that. It's like you plant little seeds and they just go away outside of you, and you don't know where they land and how they grow and what they're doing to make the world a better place.
Yeah. Well, for you, because you just recently got out, it may not require that you take 2 or 3 years, but that if you go back and speak in different forms with them, whether it be at the Northwest Center or at the last place you taught, you know, kids, for them to see you, an African-American male, out front saying, hey, I taught, I understand where you're coming from, and that may take you 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes if you do that, you know, maybe once every quarter just to keep you in the loop. And then, you know, over time you may say, hey, there's something else that I can do. You know, it sounds like you like to get involved in different programs, whether it's not-for-profit, something you create yourself, and you control how much interaction you have. You get you an understudy that's going to do the layman's or the lay work for you, and you oversee the process. So there's 1,000 ways that you can take that talent that you have and give back.
Yeah, you're right.
I concur, Tony, and especially even look at this forum. You know, you take the position of males who are normally not viewed, or the perception is that you're not very sensitive or caring, and you're really not necessarily expressive of your feelings. What an opportunity to help our future court and our future writers, our future authors, you know, just do whatever it is, like you say, that's part of your blessing, your skill, and then build on that. I saw this morning, and because I'm in Lakeland, I can get news from both Tampa as well as Orlando, but it was a young lady who had been laid off from work, and she decided to go take some golf, you know, just to occupy her time. And from that, she saw that, you know, it's not very many black females there, and so she started a club in which Girls on the Green or something like that. But it was an opportunity for black young ladies to learn how to play golf. She coordinated with the golf courses and probably people in the community, in the Tampa community. And, I mean, I think she's been doing it now for 2 or 3 years. And actually she's one of the ones that was invited to be declared a champion by the president. So she had an opportunity to go up today, if I'm not mistaken, and be with the president with so many other champions identified of being, you know, involved in their community. But as a black male, wow, we have so many needs to not only teach our young men survival skills of being head of their household, but the importance of treating a woman and, you know, the respect and the dignity such that our legacy can really live on in the manner that we, you know, we need it to. It's required of us. So I think, again, you have to reach out, and not necessarily people that we know, not necessarily family members, but it is making an impact. So that young lady that was a previous student was just an example of how you made an impact on so many, and you really didn't realize it.
No, I would never would have known her, again, because I've gone through thousands and thousands of students when I was at the college reach out program, and certainly some of them have changed their names. Like she was married, so her last name wouldn't have given me a clue. And so it wasn't until she let me know that she was in that program that I became aware of it. And I just I know that when we go back as far as when I used to coach football team at the boys club, you know, now that you all are telling me that, maybe I don't need to be the coach, but I could just be one of the people out there who support them financially, who's out there watching the young guys. Because I do remember when I was at the boys club, some of the parents wouldn't even come out and watch their kids. So sometimes they didn't even know who would be in the stands paying attention to their efforts. And the truth is, you know, a lot of times we use that thing, well, you know, when a tree falls, does it make a sound? But the truth is, if you're out there playing football, and nobody's watching you and nobody tells you a good job, it's like you didn't do anything. So if you ran for 1,000 yards but nobody saw you and knew you ran for 1,000, it's like you didn't run. You didn't do it. So what's more important to athletes is that there are people out there watching them achieve the different goals that they have, and that's what's exciting about being an athlete. I know when I was an athlete, you know, I wanted to hit points when the crowd was watching. You know, you practice, you know, 5 or 6 times a week, but it's game day, you got people watching you, and that's what's truly exciting, knowing that there's somebody out there who clearly pays attention to your efforts.
You're exactly right. I can remember my mom being at my games, and no matter how tough they got, I look in the stands and see her there, whether you were at home or away, and that made all the difference for me. You, Mr. James, you know, I think I heard an example a couple weeks ago where they said in Africa they had these adolescent young male elephants cutting up and tearing up crops and this, that, and other. So what they did, they went out and got a bull elephant about 60 years old, and he was twice the size of them. And they just put him in the middle of them, and they got in line. He didn't – it was just his presence being there that just let them know, hey, I'm the leader. I'm in control. I ain't got to make no noise. Just my presence here puts the fear of God in you. So, you know, when we think in terms of males especially, you know, there are a lot of women out there, you know, to represent for, you know, young ladies. So we have to think in terms of going forward from a male perspective. We have a lot of males that don't necessarily get into, you know, involved in the things that guys do. So, like, I coached Pop Warner football for about 10 years, and then my daughter got up one day on a Saturday and said, Dad, every day I get up on Saturday, you gone. So I quit. Because I can't be pouring into somebody else's kid and my kid sitting at home.
I Am This Woman by James Deshaies. I am this woman. I am this.
All right. Sorry, Tony. I touched the wrong button. Go ahead. Go ahead and finish what you were saying.
Oh, no problem. I was saying, what was the last thing you heard?
You said your daughter wanted you at home. She told you.
So what happened? She told me, you know, every Saturday when I wake up, you're gone. So that day, I told them, hey, I can't coach. And, you know, it offended some of the parents. I was like, hey, you know what? It's good when I'm pouring into your kid. I said, but what does my daughter say when she turns 15 or 16 and I'm trying to develop a relationship with her? I need to develop a relationship with her now. So,
right.
You know, I only have one child. She's a daughter, and she's 13, and this happened to me 4 or 5 years ago. So I was like, hey, man, I'm done. And I enjoyed it while it lasted. I had the opportunity to impact a lot of young men's lives. Some of them walk up to me now, just like with you. I don't even know who they are because they're bigger than me. I'm like, man, who are you? Well, you coach me at such and such time. So that's a great feeling to hear what someone is doing now after you had some measure of impact on their life. So I just think that's a great thing to be able to give back. And, you know, if you look at something as simple as going to church, mostly it's women in church doing stuff. You know, men, we like to be by ourselves or just with the fellas hanging out doing our thing. And there's so much to do in the community. And a lot of that is some of the training that we've gotten from other brothers. You know, some people were brought up in a household where you were taught to give back and be assertive as a male. And then there are other places where you had a single parent household where just out of necessity, the parent had to work and you were raising yourself. So you learned what was right on your own, whether it was the wrong thing or not. So it's not knocking anybody. It's just we have to put ourselves in the middle as that bull elephant to say, hey, you know what? Not trying to tell you what to do, but let's consider doing it this way because it can have a more positive impact on your life.
All right, we have way through. Let me take a break, and we'll come back and continue our discussion about what role should older people play in the lives of children who are not their own. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I want to tell all of you out there and just let you know, my daughter drafted me in to be a part of this board with the NAACP, and this board is just kind of overseeing the election process as the NAACP elects new leaders. And, you know, it's interesting that Audrey brought this this subject up, this topic today, because now I start to remember a lot of things about what happened to me about yesterday at this meeting, because another one of the new teachers, our new board members, told my daughter that I used to take their lunch when they come to class with food. Now, she suggested I would take their lunch, and if there was something that was packaged, I would keep it for myself and eat it later, and that I was a mean teacher. And, you know, I do remember wanting to be one of the mean teachers because I thought there were too many nice teachers around and that I wanted to be the kind of teacher that made the students follow the rules so that they recognize there are going to be times when you run into somebody who required that you follow the rules. And it wasn't that they were bad or angry, but that at some point you have to be capable of just being disciplined enough to follow rules when you ran into people who required that you follow the rules. And so that's why I selected to be a more aggressive teacher related to being on time to class, making sure you had your assignments on time, and not take excuses, because you have to be prepared when you run into those kind of leaders who require those kind of things. What are your thoughts about that kind of thing, Audrey, helping students to understand that there may be times when you have to follow the letter of the law because you're going to run into people who that's how they live their lives?
Well, you're setting a foundation for what's real, what's life, life is about. And it is a thing called tough love. But I think in the childhood years, it's a way that we do that. And we discipline and we correct and we mentor and we coach and we do it all with love. But yet we have to demonstrate tough love. I can share with you an example. My husband had passed, and I was the coach of my son's basketball team, and of course they said a female, they thought they were just going to run all over me and that kind of stuff like that. And my son could play pretty well, and of course being the coach's son, he thought he was going to get some perks. Well, we went, and I was living in Claremont at the time, we went over to Orlando, and he'll tell you this story now. We went over to Orlando, and that was a big thing with the kids from Claremont going to play against Orlando. And we were doing really well and all. And I said, okay, listen, I like to just stick to fundamentals. That's the best way for me to win. And, you know, pass so many times before you shoot. And, he's going to decide to go out there and shoot whenever he wants. Granted, he hits the point, and that's fine. And I told him one more time, listen, we're going to pass so many times, then you, you know, shoot. And he went out there and did it again without passing. Oh, I set him on the bench. And he was just fiery mad. But I had to teach him a lesson as well as the others on the team. And that was a valuable lesson. And from that point forward, I think that's part of the discipline that he has now. We have to, as adults, we are responsible for teaching them right. So showing them the right way and discipline properly is the right thing to do.
And you're so right. You know, the coaches that I remember, and Tony, I'd like you to chime in on this, the coaches I remember the most are the ones who were the biggest headaches. I mean, the ones who would just drive you and drive you and drive you and just wouldn't give you any slack. And I remember one coach telling me, he said, when I stop calling your name, or I stop yelling at you, or stop getting on you, that's when you have to worry. Because once I stop, it's because I don't see any more in you. And so, you know, that's been the kind of thing that I appreciate, because when people challenge me or ride me like I remember in high school and in college, they brought the most out of me because a lot of times I didn't have what people call self-encouragement. That's not the word I'm looking for. Self-discipline. You know, sometimes I needed somebody behind me to say, okay, put a couple of more pounds on that barbell. You know, put another 45 on there. Because I'd get enough weight and I'd say, okay, this is enough. You know, but you don't get where you need to be by just lifting enough. You get where you need to be by lifting more than you thought you could. And what are your thoughts about that, Tony?
Man, I have teachers and coaches. I had a guy that played high school ball, man, that was 2 years older than me. He was the best player on the team. He got smart mouth with my white coach, and the coach jumped on him, took his suit off, kicked him off the team, and the team in Tallahassee that was the big dog was Leon. They beat us 76-0. I'm in the ninth grade. I'm like, how are we going to win without him? This guy ended up graduating from FAMU, and he played 14 years in the NFL. And we had our jerseys retired at my high school, and he said the most embarrassing thing and the most beneficial thing to him was that coach taking his uniform off in front of everybody and embarrassing him and making him come to every game. Now, when you take the big dog off team, that sends a message to everybody else. So Emmett Smith is a good friend of mine. He was telling me about Jimmy Johnson one day blasted him in practice in front of everybody. So he said, man, he went like 3 days without talking to the coach. And I said, well, what did he do? He said, he pulled me off to the side. He said, look, man, he said, you're mad, ain't you? So your feelings hurt. And he said, I'm the coach and you're the player. He said, you're a Super Bowl champion. He said, but if I can yell at you in front of everybody else and they know you're the superstar, I don't have to yell at them. Because if I'm willing to take you down, they know not to get out of line. So when we think in terms of it, I remember being in class in elementary school, I had this teacher, Miss Phil. She had taught all of my brothers before me. So by the time I got there in the fourth grade, I remember her telling me, she said, when you go to fifth grade, this white guy that you're going to be with, this is what you got to be careful of. And I'm thinking, why is this woman telling me this? But as I got older, I realized she was looking out for me. She was a woman from the community, African-American. So, and she didn't play when I was in her class. And my mama's name, Johnny Mae, she said, boy, in front of everybody, don't make me call Johnny Mae. I was shaming my mama's name back then. So when she did that, she wasn't doing it to embarrass me. It was her way of saying, I know your mama, and I know your mama don't play. Get in line. So for me, when those coaches got on me, you know, I'm like, man, why are you always on me? And to them, they're like, man, I don't want to hear that. You want to be good? This is what it takes. So I had to realize that the price of progress is the pain of change. And if we don't learn that and can't instill that in those that we try to influence, you know, it's not worth anything. You know, they don't get anything out of it. It shouldn't be an easy walk. If it's easy, everybody can do it. So how do we distinguish ourselves and our influencing of others? And how do we get those that we influence to see that, like you said, Mr. James, I need to be more disciplined and put an extra, you know, weight on the barbell? Because if we're allowed to just push ourselves, I wasn't willing to do that. I had to have somebody put their foot in my behind and say, hey, you need to do this.
And sometimes people see in you things that you don't see in yourself. I mean,
exactly.
And I have been athletes, and I have a ton of different stories. But I can clearly remember when I would do things on my own or make my own decisions, there will always be people who came behind me and made me change my decision, and lo and behold, it was the right decision. And so, you know, it never fails that you have to be willing and prepared to listen to others who walked the walk before, who may have a different insight to life. And which even goes back to why, I guess, as adults, we have to be willing to pass that knowledge on, you know, because kids get their feelings hurt real easy. They really don't like being embarrassed. But there is some benefit in embarrassment because when you get embarrassed, then you have to have the fortitude to come back and show you're tough. But if you're going to give up the moment you're embarrassed, you'll be giving up forever, because there's going to always be somebody who is going to be willing to try to take you down a notch or two. And if that's when you're going to lose it, then that's when you you actually can't rise to the top of your game. And in fact, you can tell that even in our politics. Think about the little embarrassment that Hillary did to Donald Trump with introducing that girl, and he doesn't have the fortitude to get over it. He's still dealing with it 4 or 5 days later, tweeted about it last night because he can't get beyond
it because
somebody embarrassed him.
He's off his game.
And so
he's off his game.
It's a lifelong universal lesson that we need older people to help us understand how we get through life.
You know, from a motivational standpoint, I look at life like when I leave here, I need to die on E. Everything that's in me need to be out. I can't take it with me, so ain't no need of me dying with knowledge, dying with whatever it is I think I'm going to leave here. And you ain't never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. You can't take it with you. So
exactly.
any kid that think I got tomorrow, no, you don't. You can go on the field for the last time, get hurt, can never play again. You can be in a classroom and be a straight-A student, don't do nothing for the first 6 weeks, and think you're going to get better. The class, if it's like calculus, it's cumulative, it gets worse or get more difficult. So a lot of time these kids take things for granted, and they don't realize till they're senior in high school, oh, God, I've been doing it wrong. Some of them, you try to help, but they don't want to help themselves. Those that want to help themselves and don't know how, those are ones we got to try to reach. You're not going to catch all the fish. You just catch the ones that you can and impact them. And in impacting them, they need to know and understand that losing is a part of winning. And even when you fall, you don't fail.
Andre, what are some of the life lessons you've learned that were taught to you by older individuals?
Well, oh my goodness, several. And I'll start first with external, meaning outside my family. One of you made the comment that you appreciate the hardest teachers on you, and that's true to me. When I had gone off to college, and I tell you what, this one teacher I just did not like at all, and it was because she was so tough. But it is until this day that I really cherish her because of the fact that she pushed me beyond my limits, and when I could identify that, wow, I can do more than what I thought I could. It was her that invited me over to her house to have, Sunday meals with her and her husband. And her husband had actually owned a nursing home facility. So I got a chance to see, you know, just a black family, business owners, but yet caring and involved in the community. But yet she took a student like myself and invested in me, and I appreciate that. Internal, I guess I'm still learning lessons because being number 8 of 9 children, and no matter how old I get, my older siblings surely feel that they can teach me a thing or two. And, you know, I just wrote a note to them today, though, just to say thank you because in reality, you know, even in the business world, it's that strength of the family in which pushes us to continue. We are always challenged at work one way or the other to make it through the day and make it through the day showing, you know, your abilities, your skills, and yet try to show it in a Christian loving manner. So it is the strength of the family that has brought me this far, and I surely can go on and on about how my mother and father instill things, and I consider myself blessed to be raised in a home in which I had a good Christian father who instilled values, and while he's been deceased 36 years, still today, it's very important to me that I carry myself in a manner in which is a positive reflection upon the family and make sure anything that's associated with me is my very best. So that's a lifelong lesson.
That's some good
stuff. It's so important that we, you know, just like you said, Tony, you can't take this stuff with you. And a lot of times the things that your fathers and your mothers and your coaches and your teachers teach you needed to be passed on. So I guess we need to make time to share these things with you because there are tons of them. I mean, I know each and every one of us has gone through the same process. You know, we went through elementary school, middle school, high school, college. Some have gone to advance their college, got advanced degrees. Some of us went to play college football, and some played in the pros. So all of us come up with tons of thoughts and sayings and things that people have said to us along the way and experiences. And those things can be life-changing once they're shared with someone else. Because once you plant those stories, you know, there are going to be people who remember them and who regurgitate them. And I know that I do it a lot with the things that I've been told in the past. Like one of the things you said about the important person on the team being benched. I remember when we were acting up at South Carolina State, we were acting up and talking about boycotting a football game because one of the coaches had did something. So they took us into a meeting, and he said, look, I want to tell you how important you are. And he said, this is how important you are. I want you to put your hand in a bucket of water, and I want you to splash it around as much as you can. Just splash as much as you can until I tell you to stop. And he said, once you stop, I want you to take your hand out of that bucket of water. He said, the hole that's left is how important you are. And boy, you know, when he gave that illustration, and man, he just wanted to tell us that when we were doing all that talking about boycotting, that every one of them scholarships, there was somebody waiting for it. And if we didn't want it and we wanted to boycott, there was going to be somebody else to take that scholarship under those conditions. And so, you know, sometimes when you get so full of yourself and that you be starting to think you in a position to make demands, you better be careful and think about what you're saying, because believe me, you know, we all know this, that when you die, somebody going to take your place and the world going to keep on turning. And and it is not going to stop because you left the stage. That's one of the things we have to get under people. It's important to develop your individuality. It's important to think great things about yourself, but you are a part of a wheel that's going to keep on turning whether or not you want to remain a part or not. And so, you know, we really have to be, you know, when people step out, you have to step out knowing that what you're doing is right and not just be something you're just doing off the cuff. And so that was an interesting thing he said, and I will never forget that.
You know, the funny thing is kids grow up thinking they're the center of the world, especially when they're around their families. And then when you get out into the real world and them people ain't looking at you like that, you just, another, like you said, another cog in the wheel. And sometimes that's a rude awakening. So with me, with my daughter, sometimes I'm hard on her, but I explain to her why I'm hard on her. And she'll come back and say, you know, Daddy, that's good advice because what you said, I saw that happen. And that reality, that awakening is what I'm trying to get to. So I have to explain to her, I'm your daddy first. I'm not your friend first. And I said, if we have to make a choice, I'm going to always be your daddy. No matter what you do, I love you. I'm going to be there for you, but there's a consequence to everything that you do. Consequence don't necessarily mean bad. It could be something good if you do something good. But if you do something bad, there's a negative consequence. And kids need to know that. And if you don't instill that in them, they feel like, hey, I make the rules. Then by the time you come to them, you're like, man, how did this kid get to this point? You really don't even want to deal with them. But the reality is for them not to end up on the side of the road somewhere dead, you got to try to pour into them, even when they don't want to be poured into. And, Mr. James, I'm sure you've had students in class or you've seen them in school in your 30 years that they just seem incorrigible. You're like, oh, God, I got to deal with this person.
Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, they think you don't know my future. The issue becomes when you've done it for 30 years, is know that I don't definitively know your future, but I knew people who went down the road that you're going, and I know the results that those people had. So sometimes you tell them that, not that I know the future, but I've been around long enough to recognize the traits that lead in the wrong direction. And I'm just trying to tell
yeah.
you, don't go in that direction. Don't emulate those things. This is what you need to emulate, because this will take you a path that will give you the success that you want. But so often you think they think that you're trying to
jam them up
exactly
and be unfair to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't, you know that it's just like when you tell a kid, look, pull your pants up. Look respectable. Man, why do I get, because that respect, looking respectable and talking respectable and acting respectable is going to give you the rewards down the road. And people,
yeah.
It's amazing that we don't even know it. I know the first school that I talked to in Virginia, a gentleman said to me, and, it was condescending in a way, but at the same time, recognizing that I had parents who, my mother was an educator, my dad had owned a construction company. And so when I went to Virginia in this small town, I thought I was acting normal. And I was acting in a way that they weren't used to. And the gentleman said to me, you talk differently. You don't act the same way some of these other people act. And what I thought about was that you just hadn't seen people act and talk like me. And that,
exactly.
that you the one in a small town, you don't recognize. I came from a college of people who talk like this, because we've been trained to talk like this. And but you don't know it because you're in this small town. But it made me feel good that what I brought to the table was something that was new to him.
And it was valuable to him.
Exactly.
It was new to the point where he noticed that. He probably wanted it. He didn't know how to go about getting to that level. Gave you an opportunity to come in and, help him get to that next level.
Now, Andre, have you ever had that happen to you where people thought, made you believe that you were different, but you knew you were part of, you grew up in, in a way that was commonplace?
Yeah, and it's consistent even now. Actually being born and raised in Mississippi and, again, working in the corporate world and being blessed with the position that I'm in, a lot of times people form their opinions, especially if you say a black female from Mississippi. And when
they have a perception.
Absolutely, and it's not a positive one. So when we start the discussion and they identify the fact that, yes, I can think, and it's a reason that I'm at the table, and I'm not all hostile, but I'm not going to let you get away with something, especially if I said it and now you're trying to get the credit for it. And so people say, afterwards they say, I didn't expect that from you. And in essence, I know what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that it's very important in the manner in which I carry myself, going back to the original topic for today. It's not about me, but it's about those ones that's coming behind me. Just as our forefathers created a path for us and an opportunity for us. We're not asking for anything special. We just want an opportunity. That's all. That's all
yep.
we're asking for. Because I tell you what, it makes me so proud to see these young blacks that's coming up educated, motivated. I mean, I'm not the best with technology. And my son always said, well, Mom, if you're not sure about something, call me first. But I'm just so proud of them and what they're capable of doing. And I just want them, again, to just excel. That's my goal. So I know that I'm in a position where I'm determining whether someone of color will come behind me or not. And I'm always mindful of that. I don't know if it's because of where I was born and raised, but, you knew what to say, when to say, if to say it, and that kind of stuff in order to achieve what it is that you were, seeking. So I've had that occur, several times. So again, we just have to continue to represent and pave the way for those behind us.
All right, guys.
You know, sounds
as
like...
always, when we have good conversation going, we get through this hour real fast. And I just want to appreciate you all for your continued support. And those of you who are out there in the audience listening, you know, give me a call. It's 407-394-8919. If you have a topic you want us to discuss, give me a call or email me at djames82@aol.com. We're always about trying to talk about things that are going to make a difference in our society, and we realize that that saying, it takes a village to raise a child. And I realize that we need to be a part of that village if we want our communities to be better, if we want our cities to be better, and if we want our states to be better, and our country to be great and remain great. Not great again, but remain great. I want to tell you to take care, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 8 p.m. This is your host, James C. Deshay, of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Take care, and we'll see you tomorrow at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m.
Father, help your children. Let them fall by the side of the road, and teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their heart. He won't let you down, and I know he lies forever in my heart. We've got to walk on. Walk on through temptation, 'cause he's love, and his wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and his word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts.